court meeting. It's 9 a.m. on April the 25th, and we'll get started. I have a couple remarks I'd like to make. First of all, welcome to all of you. We're always glad to see a robust crowd at our port meetings, and today's no exception. We're glad you're here, and we look forward to getting through the agenda in a way that might make sense to not only us, but to you as well. I did have a couple of opening remarks that I wanted to make. For those of you who come to our meetings from time to time, you know that we like to take note of anniversaries. And in February, we celebrated the 10th anniversary of the opening of the Bayport Container Terminal, one of our most important facilities. And then a couple of years ago, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of the Houston Ship Channel. So we just kind of celebrate those good anniversaries. Well, today we need to recognize that 40 years ago, our first container operations opened at Barber's Cut. Barber's Cut Terminal has grown to be one of the most important facilities on the Texas Gulf Coast and has been a real job creator and prosperity creator for our region. It provides so much in terms of jobs, economic development, and those kind of things to our region that we couldn't be more proud of the 40th anniversary. Barber's Cut has led our port to become the most important port on the Gulf Coast. And in terms of container operations, Port Houston currently handles 68% of all the container activity along the Gulf Coast. And within the state of Texas, we handle 95% of the containers. So when you see a container going up and down the road, don't be too concerned with traffic considerations. Think about the economic prosperity that container brings to our region. So we do want to congratulate all those who are involved and make container operations happen from all of the departments across the port. And thank you for your dedication and your efforts to keep us going. Let's give them all a round of applause. Another thing to take note of is yesterday, a lot of us had the privilege to attend the Coast Guard Houston Galveston Sector Change of Command and a retirement ceremony for Captain Martin. Captain Martin was retired yesterday from the Coast Guard, and he left as sector commander. He's going to be staying in our region. I'm not sure exactly what he'll be doing, but it's a testament to our region that people come here to work for a brief period and decide they want to retire and stay here. So that's a good deal. I also want to extend congratulations from Port Houston to the new captain of the port. His name is Kevin Odit. And I think they said he's coming from New Orleans, where he was the chief of staff for Admiral Callahan. So he's a well-positioned and well-connected man. We'll look forward to having him come out and visit the port very soon.
Yes.
And give him a full and complete rundown of how we work hand in hand with the Coast Guard on matters of mutual benefit to us all. I might also say that both Admiral Callahan in his remarks and Captain Martin in his remarks both mentioned Port Houston as being a very valuable partner in their work in our region. So it was good to be recognized during that rather lengthy ceremony yesterday.
2 hours, man.
So those were all of my comments. The next item on our agenda is approval of the minutes from our previous
move
meeting.
To approve the minutes.
Okay, I have a motion from Commissioner Corgi and a second. I don't remember who gave it. Commissioner Meese. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the minutes were approved. Let's have some committee updates now. I have first on the agenda the audit committee meeting. We're going to do audit next month?
Yes.
Okay, how about pension and benefits?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. The pension and benefit committee was held, meeting was held on April 18th, 2017, and covered one item. Staff provided an update on the pension plan actuarial audit, which is required to be performed once every 5 years for the plan's asset exceeding $100 million. This update was also presented to the audit committee. Gabriel Roeder Smith and Company, known as GRS, was engaged to audit the actuarial assumptions and valuation report prepared by our actuary, Millman. The final audit report indicates that the valuation prepared by Millman provides a fair and reasonable assessment of the financial position of the pension plan. Both the audit committee and the pension and benefits committee recommended approval of the final actuarial audit report, which is included as item G2 in today's agenda. I understand that Mr. Ryan Falls of GRS is scheduled to be in the audience today to present the final audit report. Thank you very much. That concludes the committee's report.
Thank you, Commissioner Fitzgerald. The next thing we have on the agenda is appearances. I see we have several people signed up today. So before we start, if we could have our, are you giving me some different?
Well, I think first on your agenda is the one that falls with the actuaries.
Okay, so this is a, okay, appearances. Okay,
so
I was putting that in the same category, sorry. Mr. Ryan Falls, are you with us today? Where are you? There you are. Please come to the podium, and I see we have a report that you're going to give us. So if you would, please introduce yourself, tell us why you're here, and who you represent.
Absolutely. As I was so eloquently referenced earlier, my name is Ryan Falls. I'm an actuary with Gabriel Roeder Smith & Company. We're actuaries that work with public pension plans across the country. And as was mentioned earlier, there's a state law that requires an actuarial audit to be performed on all public pension funds in Texas that are over $100 million in assets. And this, we recently completed the second actuarial audit for the Port of Houston Authority's restated retirement plan under this state law. So my comments are going to be very, very brief, but I'm happy to answer any questions you might have about it. Again, as was stated, the headline is that it's our opinion that the actual valuation you receive from your actuary right now provides a fair and reasonable assessment of the financial position of your retirement plan. That's the most important takeaway. We reviewed all the valuation reports and any other actual important actuarial documents that have been prepared for you over the last few years. We sampled some liability calculations, reviewed the documentation, and did an assessment of the assumptions and the methods that go into calculating the liabilities that reside on your balance sheet, but then also the annual contribution calculations that are performed, and all of that was reasonable. We had a number of comments just kind of to improve the process, some best practice comments, a lot of it revolving around the documentation and presentation of some of the results in the reports, but nothing that would materially impact the financial results of the plan and how it impacts your organization. So that's really all I had to say, but like I said, I'm happy to answer any questions, and your retained actuary with Millman, Jake Pringles, here also to answer any questions you might have.
And we have a full copy of your report at our place, so...
With the management response attached to the end of it, if you want to see it.
So, commissioners, are there any questions?
Very good report.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And to our employees, I'd say again, as I often do, there's nothing more important than our employee benefits, and this is another one that's in great shape. So when you read newspaper articles about pension plans that are in really bad shape around our region and our state, yours is not one of them. So, and we want to keep it that way. So thank you, Mr. Falls. Okay, now I'll go back to where I thought I was, and we'll ask Mr. Schroeder to give us a brief rundown of our rules on appearances.
Sure, thank you, Chairman. So,
we're going to get to you.
Okay. So, yes, with respect to public comments and all those today that have signed up for requesting the ability to make a public comment, here are the brief rules. If your comment relates to a specific item that is on the agenda, I don't know if we have any of those, then you are allotted 3 minutes of time to speak on that item. If, on the other hand, your topic does not relate to an item on the agenda, it's 1 minute, provided if you're with a group, then pick out a representative from that group to talk, and then you would have up to 3 minutes. I'll keep the time. I'll try to signal you when that time is expired. We appreciate your endeavors to keep within those limits, because we have a long agenda today. And the Port Commission will not respond to your comments. We get into legal considerations as to what they can respond to off the bat and so forth. But they will take into consideration everything that you say and listen quite closely.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Schroeder. And the first one on our sign-in sheet is our friend, Captain Robert Chiron.
I also say, Mr. Chiron, and to all people that are going to speak today, state your name, if you will, for the commissioners and your affiliation. If you have a business card and you care to drop that off with me for purposes of the minute, that's helpful, too. Either way.
Okay. Good morning. I'm Captain Robert Chiron. I'm the presiding officer of the Houston Pilots. I'll be very brief. I just wanted to remind everybody that this Friday is the Maritime and Logistics Youth Expo. Friday instead of Saturday. If you remember last year, it was held on a Saturday. The purpose of this event is to educate local youth on the many facets and benefits of employment in the maritime and logistics industry. So the event sponsors are Port Houston, Harris County Precinct 2, San Jacinto College, Coast Guard Auxiliary, and the Houston Pilots. Remember, it's Friday. We expect between 500 to 700 children attending this year. They'll be bused in. They get a field trip. They get a day off from school. Thank you.
Where's it at, Captain?
Oh, San Jacinto Maritime College. Thank you for asking that question.
For those of you who may not have attended this event in the past, I can assure you, you'll be blessed by your attendance there. There are, as Captain Chiron said, hundreds of youth there. Many of them will be making career choices on that day. So it's a very important event, and we like to support our youth. So thank you for bringing that report. The second person on the list is Mr. Reginald Moore. If you would, okay, Mr. Moore, if you would state your affiliation, please.
Yeah, Reginald Moore. I'm a retiree. I started here in 1978. I'm still in the system. I'm on the disability retirement, so this is kind of what I do in place of employment. I thank Mr. Clyde Fitzgerald, the commission, Ms. Gilda Ramirez, and I'm affiliated with the Jackie Ace Maritime Academy, which Mr. Ted Irvin is over. And they're having a project, a graduation on Tuesday, May 2nd. Last year we had one. It didn't quite go quite like we wanted it. But we are here today to try to make sure going forward that this program is sponsored and dealt with correctly. So when these kids come out, they're transitioning into the maritime system. I've had the privilege of seeing some youngsters I sit with last year at the Maritime Academy, and seen them this past Saturday. They're still looking and trying to transition into jobs at the Port of Houston. It's just very difficult to get into the Pilots Association, the gentlemen who tie up the ships. But one thing that's a little bit more easy to get into is the ILA system, which is the majority part of that work on the channel that's dealing with shipping and receiving. So we're trying to get these kids transition in. And on what I have here, and I'm trying to be the point person and the liaison so that some of the mistakes that we made in the past don't happen again. I work real closely with Clyde, and he's done a lot for us. And I just wanted to make sure that I read this letter right quick. Dear ILA Houston Local 24, on behalf of the students and staff and community of Jack Ace High School, we want to thank you for continued support of our Maritime Logistics Program. Thank you specifically to Houston ILA Local 24, which is, Clyde is not at 24, but Mr. Clyde Fitzgerald, Port Commissioner, and Mr. Reginald Moore, Jack Chase alumni, for your generous donation of the forklift and for the certification training of our students. Our goal is to teach, develop, and nurture a 21st century maritime logistics program that meets the challenges of the industry workforce. With this donation, the ILA Commissioner Fitzgerald and Mr. Moore have greatly helped Yates High School reach our objectives. With sincere appreciation, the students and staff of Jack Yates High School, Mr. Kenneth Davis, Principal Yates High School. So I'm just asking you guys for continued support so that we can clean this up, make sure that they can transition in. And I'm thanking you guys for all your support because you mean to do well. We just want to do it a little better.
Thank
and more
you,
efficient.
Mr. Moore. And if I could, I'd like to have Ms. Gilda Ramirez come to the platform and impromptu. If you would tell us, Gilda, about the graduation ceremonies that are currently scheduled. I think we've already had a couple of our maritime programs graduations this year, but some are still coming up. Would you just review those for us?
Yes, sir. Very briefly, we have held two graduation ceremonies. We had one at LaPorte High School, and Commissioner Corgi was our guest speaker, so thank you, Commissioner Corgi, for doing that. We had several students there. We had one graduate, and the students were there are being recruited from the eighth grade to join the program. Their program has grown. It was a great event. There were a lot of parents there, and so that was a very successful event on Thursday. We had an event at Pasadena, and I would say we had 75 to 100 people in attendance, and Commissioner Meese was there, and he provided opening remarks and did a very good job and was very impressed with the crowd and the students. We had eight graduates from the program, and they have also grown the program at Pasadena. They have a state-of-the-art center there that the school district has paid for, and they also have new simulators. This Thursday, we have, on the 27th, the Stephen F. Austin High School graduation. We have 76 graduates that evening, so it will be a long evening. And I have tried to shorten the agenda as much as possible and really make this all about the kids. So we are working with Mr. Davis at the school and Mr. Irving, who is here today, to make this an enjoyable evening for our students and their parents. And also we have the last event is at Galena Park High School, and we have that planned for May the 4th. So it's the 27th, May 2nd, and May 4th. Commissioner Branch is scheduled to speak. Commissioner Corgi is going to be in attendance for the Jack Yates and Austin.
I'm out of town. I'm going to be at Austin.
Okay. Well, thank you for attending the one last week. And then we have the last one will be on the May 4th. And then we also have the Maritime Youth Expo that we're working with that was already mentioned. And we are expecting 796 students is what we have confirmed. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mears, for giving us an update. It's that time of year when kids are graduating and moving on and making decisions that will be with them for their whole life. So thank you for helping them make good decisions about the maritime program and careers in maritime education.
Chairman, if I could add, I mean, Gilda has done a tremendous job, not only in the training end of it, but getting these young folks focused on actually being employed in the industry when they graduate. And I think that's what we really need to focus on.
I will take just a minute. We do have some other guests here, and you'll call them up, but I did want to acknowledge our student from Jack Yates. Jaleesa, will you stand and be recognized? And you'll hear all about her in just a few minutes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. The next item on our list, or the next person on our list, is Ms. Margaret Candler from SSBG.
Good morning. My name is Captain Margaret Candler. I represent SeaStar Base in Galveston, as well as our executive director, Tino Gonzalez, and our founder, Captain Charles and Rosemary Doolin. My purpose here today is to thank the Port Houston and the maritime education. We believe at SSBG we are ground zero to help spark the interest. And with the sponsorship and the help of Port Houston, they created a practical experience for many students who have never even been on a boat before. We believe that we can help fill that pipeline with this partnership with the Port of Houston. And we actually have a few photos as well to give you an idea of what we did. We took lower class and upper class students. We got them on board. We had them perform a pre-underway checklist, get behind the wheel. We took them along Galveston Ship Channel. We had them test propulsion, engine start procedure, gave them a good foundation of what it's like to get a boat underway and what to do once we get a boat underway. And we have technical difficulties on our photos, but I don't know where I am in my time, but I can talk a whole lot more than a minute. So I'd like to thank the staff as well at Port Houston as well. They did an outstanding job and for youth and maritime education. So thank you.
Well, thank you for your report. And if while we're having some other people speak, if your slides can come up, we'll look at them at that time.
Excellent. Thank you.
We're waiting on the slides.
Gilda, would you tell me who the next person to speak is?
Yes, sir. At this point, we're going to invite Mrs. Doolin to say a few words.
Okay. Great. If you would say your name again, please, and your affiliation.
Rosemary Doolin. Well, look, maybe that's more important.
Okay, we're here now.
Thank you.
If you could just go ahead and play the slides. This is a, I didn't realize I'd only have a minute to speak. So these are this
no,
this.
You have 3 minutes.
Oh, I have 3 minutes. Oh. Okay, so if you can just take a look at some of the photos. You can see some of the pre-underway checklists and things that the students were able to perform. As I said, many of them had never been on a boat before. So we got into knot tying with the lower classmen and basic terminology. Just to get them a great introduction. Then we took them into the Intracoastal Waterway through Pelican Island and the Causeway Bridge. We went through the Galveston Ship Channel, and there, towards the end of the slideshow, you can see these big car carriers moving, and the kids were just in awe of everything that they saw. They had no idea, especially coming from Galveston. They'd been down to Galveston, but they'd never seen what Galveston looked like from the water. So it was just an amazing, incredible experience that we would like to continue with Port Houston and the maritime education staff and see what other great things that we can do along this pipeline to fill maritime industry slots. Thank you.
Thank you
for your time.
So now if you would come back up, please.
All right.
I apologize for
right.
Getting us kind of out of order this way.
That's fine. It's God's will.
Point that when you come to the meeting, if you all have things you want to sign up to speak about, make sure you sign up on the outside before you come in. And that means you need to get here. There's plenty of time to get signed up. So, but we'll continue on.
One of the things that we have for Margaret that my husband and I decided to do is that we had come to the Port of Houston because we saw the action. But basically we saw that kids, we're Sea Scout leaders. And so we saw that many of our kids did not have, when they came in, have any idea. So one of the things that we were delighted to find out that was high school having the maritime studies. Now, we got that, and we took it to the chamber, and we did two things. We started a Doolin Pathway camp at Texas A&M, and they go to camp and have it's all about the water, and it's all about jobs, and it's all about a future, and it's all about enjoying themselves as well as enjoying the city and the water and having a focus of living a good life with a good pay. That's what I think that I'm here to say that this also can happen here in Houston. But Houston gave us our maritime study in our high school at Odyssey. They came back and we told them what Houston was doing. God bless Houston. Because we're having now our one school that has taken up maritime in their high school. And I thank you very much for your insight and your knowledge and your perspective of the gray hairs dying and having somebody replace them. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I think the next person on the list is Miss Courtney Rose.
Good morning. Welcome. Thank you, sir. Good morning, commissioners. I'm Courtney Johnson Rose, chair of the board of the Greater Houston Black Chamber of Commerce, and we have enjoyed a partnership with the Port of Houston for several years. With that in mind, I want to thank you all for the partnership that we have enjoyed with you all at the Greater Houston Black Chamber. Briefly, I would like to overview some of the activities that we've been involved in so far this year. With the port, we were proud to host Commissioner Longoria and several of the port staff at our March monthly meeting. We've also had the opportunity to host one-on-one interviews with our members that are interested in doing business with the port. So we have had a lot of interest from our member businesses, and it's been a great opportunity for them to be able to sit down with Port of Houston staff one-on-one and discuss opportunities for their businesses. We've also been able to participate in the Educators Boat Ride, which is also a wonderful opportunity for networking and education. Lastly, we have been able to participate, and several of the Port of Houston staff participated with us at our Greater Houston Black Chamber 41st Annual Scholarship Breakfast, where we were proud to award a scholarship to one of the maritime students at Jack Yates High School. And she is here, and I would like her to come up as I introduce her. We are very proud to offer her a scholarship. Jaleesha Bass is a 2017 Jack Yates High School graduate. She'll be graduating in the top 10% of her class. She will continue her studies at my alma mater, University of Texas at Austin, so we're very proud of her. While at Jack Yates, she studied both communications and maritime. She also did a dual credits program with logistics and supply chain management, where she received a certificate from Houston Community College. And most importantly, this equates to over 18 semester hours of college credit that she already has. So we are extremely proud of her. The chamber is very proud to offer a scholarship to her. And I would ask her to make a few comments, please.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Jaleesha Bass. I'm from Jack Yates High School. I'm a senior, and I'm here to thank you guys on behalf of my high school and the students in the maritime program for being able to feed into us and give us the opportunity to learn maritime at Jack Yates. We've gone on like many field trips. We've participated in many things, and a lot of the kids in my graduating class are actually going into the maritime field. A lot of kids are going to TSU in the maritime transportation industry. I'm going to the University of Texas Austin in supply chain management. And I just really wanted to thank you guys for so much for the opportunity and for being able to open our eyes to these things. I honestly didn't know what maritime was when I got into the program, but as it progressed, I learned a lot, and I realized that this is the industry that I want to go into. So I want to thank you guys today.
Thank you. Okay, well, on behalf of Port Houston, I want to thank all of you who are involved in the education of our young people. It's truly an important endeavor. We at Port Houston are proud to support and thank you all for being here this morning as well to remind us of the importance of building tomorrow's workforce today. Moving along to staff reports, the next item on our agenda is a report on financial and operational matters from our very own Mr. Roger Gunther.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Kennedy and other commissioners, and welcome everybody here today. Give a brief report for the quarter on some operational and financial highlights. For the quarter ending in March, Port Authority facilities have handled close to 10 million tons of cargo, which is about 11% increase in total tonnage over last year. The most of this increase is coming from the large increase in container volume through our container facilities. It's up 18% versus the first quarter of last year. But there's also some positive signs so far of steel imports, which are up 11% over last year as well. So the trends are looking really nice. During the first quarter of this year, our facilities have handled over 600,000 TEUs of cargo, which is up 19% containerized volume for the year. But even more encouraging, Mark, that we have is that our loaded container volume is up 22% versus last year. So a lot of movement, a lot of it spurred by the Asian service that we got the middle of last year. So very solid volumes coming through our container terminals. Through the month of March, we've generated operating revenues of about $81 million, which is a 15% increase over last year. And our operating G&A expenses are up slightly. We remaining in line with our revenues, which is indicative of our controlled overhead spending. Generated cash flows of $34 million, which is an increase of 8% over last year. And in fact, that's 15% above what we budgeted for this quarter of this year. So we've continued to manage our spending. And overall, our financial and operating results indicate that Port Authority has had a very solid first quarter, and we look forward to the rest of the year. Taking all this cash generated, investing 100% of it into our capital plan to increase the value to our stakeholders and supporting our strategic goals of infrastructure and growth. So we're really proud of what we're doing, and first quarter's been very, very bright. Just a couple of items of note, some things that you may be interested in that's going on. The Corps of Engineers has moved into the entrance to the Bayport Channel, making final improvements to get that 45-foot access into the Bayport Channel. And on completion of that, which we hope doesn't take very long, they're going to go over and start working on the widening and the bend easing of the Bayport flare. So we're looking forward to that work, which has begun. And just a note, we've got a couple of our trade development guys at the Breakbulk Europe. You know, we host Breakbulk here in the U.S. Every fall. We got a couple of people over there trying to promote that trade. We're working with our customers and promoting cargo through our general cargo facilities. And the last thing I want to do, I want to take a couple of minutes, introduce Bruce Birdwell. You see he's got a presentation on the screen. We do this every year to kind of give us an update on our total cost of risk report. Is Bruce here? There he is. Bruce is just going to go a couple minutes and show, talk about where we're at and some progress we've made.
Morning, Commissioners. Real quickly, total cost of risk. Again, this is a tool for evaluating the overall cost of the authority's risk management operations as percentage of its operating revenue. It's a benchmark that we use in our department. Four components of T4, claims costs. Those are all retained costs related to claims, employment claims, liability claims of any type, lawsuit, litigation fees, workers' compensation, all of those fees. Insurance is number two. Those are premiums for property and casualty insurance for our cranes, our buildings, commercial crime, information technology, cyber liability, all of those type coverages. Administrative costs, the internal costs are basically the costs associated with the risk management and the safety departments. External costs are costs associated with outside consultants. I would like to point out, for example, the broker of record fees for our insurance for property and casualty, as well as the third-party claims administrator fees, are budgeted in the risk management administrative budget. So we capture all the cost. And finally, uninsured losses. Two components of that, active and passive. Active is important because those are ones that we made a logical or conscious business decision to either self-insure or retain under a set deductible. A passive loss is one that we did not consider, or that one that so it comes up and surprises, as so to speak. And 7 years in a row, or 9 years in a row, we've had zero passive losses, and that's a good thing. So moving on, total cost of risk. If you look at the cost over the last couple of years, you'll see some fluctuations. I would point out that the cost have increased slightly in 16. And the reason being is we had two shock losses of approximately $900,000 in workers' compensation for two injuries. Although our total cost, total dollars have gone up, our total cost of risk as a percentage of operating revenue is pretty much stabilized around 2%, which is our goal. Again, it's up a little bit in 16, but we expect that to come back down next year. Moving on to the injuries, I think you'll see that we are averaging 46 injuries a year for the last 7 years, approximately 4.97 or 5 injuries per 200,000 hours worked, which is the equivalent of 100 employee years. So basically, if when someone wanted to know how many injuries we were incurring, it's approximately 5 injuries for every 100 employees. You will notice that in the 15-16, that the lost time, or pardon me, the injury frequency rate dropped from 5 to 3.84. So that's a positive sign. My last slide, I would like to point out that we've had approximately a 40% drop in our total cost of risk as it deals with insurance premiums. Even though our total insured values have gone up, we're located on the coast, we have an adverse loss history, we even had a $1.7 million loss in the last 2 years when a crane collapsed. We've been able to stabilize our premiums and get the coverage that we need for the port. So our total cost of risk has declined from about 1.75% to 1.07. So the good thing is they're trending downward. And I would like to close by thanking my staff here in the back that compiled all this information and put these slides together. Sherida, Mark, and Melissa all did a good job on this. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Bruce. Okay, thank you.
That's all I have, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Roger. Let's move on then with our agenda to agenda item G1. Support the inclusion of a coastal barrier system for the Houston-Galveston Bay area in the President's National Infrastructure Plan.
Motion. Second.
Okay, I have a motion from Commissioner Corgi, a second from Commissioner Branch. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Motion passes. Item G2, approve the actuarial audit of the August 1st, 2016 valuation of the Port of Houston Authority restated retirement plan. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Commissioner Meese, second from Commissioner Branch. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Moving on to commercial activities, item H1, approve a 2-year lease agreement with the Gulf Winds International Incorporated for approximately 8.58 acres on the south side of Port Road, adjacent to Old Highway 146 near Bayport Container Terminal, effective June 1st, 2017, at an annual rental of $358,076. With an annual 3% increase.
Motion. Second.
Motion from Commissioner Branch, second from Commissioner Meese. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item H2, approve the purchase of an approximately 1.27 acres tract of land owned by Ballard Exploration Company Incorporated, located at 3300 Penn City Road, Houston, Texas, in the amount of $213,000, with the buyer paying the title insurance policy over customary closing costs.
Motion. Second.
I have a motion from Commissioner Corgi, second from Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Moving on to item H3, decline the request of the Houston Maritime Museum to forgive reimbursement following the termination of Houston Maritime Museum's Turning Basin lease of the Port Authority's $45,550.53 lease-related expenses. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
I have a motion from Commissioner Branch, second from Commissioner Meese. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item under finance, item I1, which includes three advertisements. Do I have a motion?
I'll move.
Okay, I have a motion from Commissioner Don Carlos, second from Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item I-2, approve the Port Authority's fiscal year 2016 comprehensive annual financial report.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Meese, seconded by Commissioner Corgi. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item I-3, adopt resolutions authorizing the Port Authority's participation in the Local Government Investment Cooperative and the Texas Local Government Investment Pools, that's Tex Pool and Tex Pool Prime, and designate authorized representatives to act on behalf of the Port Authority in all matters in connection with those local government investment pools.
Motion.
Motion from Commissioner Branch. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Commissioner Corgi. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. We have tabled agenda item J1, and we'll move to agenda item J2, authorize an agreement with the U.S. Coast Guard to host a 6 to 8 week maritime industry training program member.
Motion.
Second.
I have a motion from Commissioner Corgi, second from Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Moving on to our infrastructure related items, item K1, reject all bids and authorize the re-advertisement of a request for bids for Wharf 42 and 43 collision repair at Turning Basin Terminal for a damage claim 997.
Motion.
Second.
Motion from Commissioner Fitzgerald, seconded from Commissioner Branch. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item K2, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a professional services contract in an amount not to exceed $175,000 for the container freight station utilities and drainage at Bayport Container Terminal to the top-ranked proposer. Staff ranking is first, Cobb Findlay & Associates Incorporated, second, H.R. Green Incorporated, and third, KIT Professionals Incorporated.
Motion.
Motion by Commissioner Branch. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Commissioner Don Carlos. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Moving on to agenda item K3, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a construction contract in an amount not to exceed $1,076,937 for dewatering of the house track placement area to the top ranked proposer. Staff ranking first, J. Simmons Group Incorporated, second, Ofthalter Contracting Company Incorporated.
Motion
from Commissioner Corgi, second from Commissioner Branch. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item K4, award a 3-year environmental services contract to Global Waste Services LLC for scrap tire removal and disposal services for all Port Authority facilities in an amount not to exceed $250,000.
Motion.
Motion from Commissioner Branch.
Do I have a
second?
Second.
Second from Commissioner Don Carlos. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item K5, approve a change order to McCarthy Building Companies Incorporated to perform additional work associated with the construction of Wharf 2 at Bayport Container Terminal in an amount not to exceed $52,598.
Motion.
Second.
Motion from Commissioner Fitzgerald, second from Commissioner Branch. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item K6, amend the existing professional services contract with PDG Architects for space allocation planning services for the Port Authority Executive Office Building in an amount not to exceed $400,000.
Motion. Second.
Motion from Commissioner Corgi, second from Commissioner Branch. All in favor?
What area is this?
This is for this building.
I know it, but whereabouts?
The whole building.
Whole building?
It's to look at renovating a 26-year-old building, create better efficiencies in the building, create more capacity, HVA system, and all of the above. Moving forward, we've done a preliminary kind of space planning or whatever, but this is the next step.
And this is all for planning activities, not any actual moving of walls or HVAC?
Oh, yes. Well, this is the design phase of that.
Right. Okay, I have a motion and a second. Are there any further questions on this item? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Moving on to K7, enter into a multi-party interlocal agreement with Harris County, Galena Park, and Jacinto City for contributions not to exceed the lesser of one-third of the cost or $100,000 for the design and construction of a sidewalk and pedestrian bridges along the east side of Mercury Drive.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion. They're waiting Commissioner on you. Don Carlos.
I know y'all are looking at me.
Motion from Commissioner Don Carlos, second from Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Good
motion
job.
Passes.
Thank you.
Yeah. We need to do more of that, I think.
Yeah. Okay, next agenda item is 8, approve the assignment of the Port Authority Environmental Consulting Agreement with E2 Managed Tech Incorporated to NSAFE Incorporated.
Motion. Second.
Motion from Commissioner Branch, second from Commissioner Don Carlos. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Okay, I would like to group all of these pipeline renewals together and do agenda items K9 through K17 in one group.
So moved.
Okay, I have a motion from Commissioner Fitzgerald, second from Commissioner Corgi. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item K18, issue a maritime construction permit to the Harris County Toll Road Authority to construct 2 bridges and demolish the existing Sam Houston Tollway Beltway 8 bridge across the Houston Ship Channel. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Meese, second by Commissioner Branch. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Would you like to comment on that, Roger?
Yes. Sure, we've been working with the Toll Road Authority. They've been under design for the bridge. I think they're planned to let and construct next year. But we're issuing, we as Port Authority have to issue a permit to construct in or over, in this case, the Houston Ship Channel. And we work with them to make sure that we address the concerns for navigation safety, any type of debris while working over the channel, the coordination of safe navigation, and any of the modifications that are made to the channel. Work closely with the pilot. Several entities have partnered in this effort, you know, also as well to make sure that they address in the contract that the channel closures as a result of building this bridge are minimized while the contractor is building this bridge, to make sure that we have opportunities to keep the commerce flowing through our port. So we've been engaged for a long time, and this is our permission to construct.
I think we have at least a couple of representatives from Harris County here. Cliff, is Cliff still in the room? Do you have any comments about these bridges?
Other than the fact we're tearing down the old and building 2 new ones, spending taxpayer dollars, but Chris Solis may be able to speak a little more eloquently.
Yes, Chris Solis from Dannenbaum Engineering. We're the program manager for Harris County Toll Road for the bridge project. Currently, the solicitation for the new bridges is on the street. We expect that solicitation to close on June 19th. And with a contract to be awarded sometime November, December of this year. Construction period for the bridge is approximately 2,400 days. That's about 7 years. And it'll start, the construction will start with the installation of a new bridge, cable stay bridge, to establish traffic over the channel, the demolition of the existing bridge, and then the construction of another cable stay bridge to provide the two-way traffic north and south.
Thank you. I just want to say on behalf of all of you who drive over that bridge from time to time, as it exists today, you're going to be really happy 7 years from now.
unless you feel like you're driving a slot car.
Oh, a slot car.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a significant item for our county and for commerce in our region. So I'm really proud that we have issued this permit and glad to be a good partner with the Harris County Toll Road Authority as well as Harris County in general. Thank you for that. Okay, moving along on our agenda, we'll move on to operations. Agenda item L1, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award an annual professional services contract in an amount not to exceed $150,000 to perform safety inspections and certification services for cranes and terminal equipment at Barber's Cut Terminal, Bayport Container Terminal, and Turning Basin Terminal to the top-ranked proposer. Staff ranking is first, Kempco Inspection Services Incorporated, and second, International Cargo Gear Bureau Incorporated.
Motion staff recommendation.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Fitzgerald, second by Commissioner Corgi. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item L2, issue two purchase orders to Caldwell County Chevrolet for the purchase of 38 vehicles needed by Barber's Cut and Bayport Container Terminals, Central Maintenance, Security, and Port Police Departments using the Houston-Galveston Area Council and the Byboard Cooperative Purchasing Programs in a total amount not to exceed $1,240,000.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Commissioner Meese, second by Commissioner Branch. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item L3, amend the freight handling assignment agreement with Coastal Cargo of Texas Incorporated to extend the term of the agreement through September 30th, 2026 to coincide with the term of Coastal Cargo's lease agreement for the CARE terminal facility and modify the tonnage guarantee.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Meese, second by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Agenda item L4, amend the interim lease agreement with Houston Terminal LLC at Bayport Container Terminal to extend the term for an additional 1 year through April 30th, 2018, increase the monthly base rent by 3%, and add a clause requiring the empty yard operations to mirror terminal operating hours.
Motion.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Fitzgerald, second by Commissioner Branch. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Did I have an opposition?
No.
Okay. Motion passes. Continuing on, item M1, reject all proposals and re-advertise a request for proposals for vending services for the Executive Office Building and the Port Coordination Center at Terminal Basin Terminal.
Motion.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Corgi, second by Commissioner Branch. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Technology had no items this month. Wow. Okay, so that concludes all of the items on our open agenda. We do have an executive session today, so I will reconvene the meeting in executive session in 5 minutes.
He was commissioner here for a while.
Claims of the Port Authority against the MV Anna Smile, claims of the Port Authority against Carl Norman Jr., and a proposed amendment to the agreement for legal services with Amy Lozerman Klein. Deliberate regarding two, real estate section 551072, Texas Open Meetings Act, including deliberation regarding disposition of submerged lands in Burnett Bay. Three, economic development negotiations or incentives, section 551087, Open Meetings Act. Four, employment and evaluation of public employees, section 551074, Texas Open Meetings Act, including deliberations regarding public employees. And five, security-related matters, sections 418175 through 418183 of the Texas Government Code and section 551076, Texas Open Meetings Act. The Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the close.
In open session, we had several items to take care of. First of all, we're going to table item Q1, which is related to marine construction permits. That'll be tabled until May. There are some items that came from executive session. I think, Mr. Corgi, you have an item to bring.
I move to authorize the executive director to settle the claims of the Port Authority against Carl Norman Jr. on the terms discussed in executive session, and to do all things reasonable or necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Meese, I believe you had an item.
Chairman, I move to authorize the Port Authority to amend its agreement for legal services with Amy Lucerman Klein on the terms discussed in executive session, and authorize the executive director to do all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second from Commissioner Corgi. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries as well.
And we got okay, one
and
more.
We have one more item. Item number You're three, up. Commissioner Branch.
I move to authorize the Port Authority to join Louis Dreyfus Company, Houston Export Elevator LLC, and affiliates to proceed with lawsuit against the MV Anna Smile and related defendants on the term discussed in executive session, and to do all things reasonable necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
So moved. Second, brother.
Okay, the motion's on the table and with a second, and all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Our next meeting, I'd like everyone to note, our chairman has asked that we move our meeting from May 23rd to May 24th. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's a Wednesday?
That's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday. We'll move it from a Tuesday to a Wednesday. So it will be May 24th. I'd ask that you and others in the public take note of that, and there'll be the appropriate announcements will be made along the way. Okay, this meeting of the Port Commission is adjourned.